let's do the thing.
Yes. There we go. Mike, we're on 50.
We're on 50.
We're on 50.
Like I said before, we had to do bullshit. That means that we can stop.
Yay! No.
Why not?
Because we have to. This is the way of the internet. You just keep going and going and going.
I've stopped with everything, and I've been fine.
Mike and I were just discussing right before I hit record the interview, the Sony movie about Seth Rogen and James Franco interviewing Kim Jong-un has been banned in the United States.
Which is such a weird thing.
Yeah.
I've never, like, in other countries that do not proclaim to be as free as America, wink, I've heard of...
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I've heard of movies and video games and things being outright banned, but not in America. This is the first time, I think, that I've heard of a movie actually being banned in a country. Or in America, anyway.
Yeah, I can't think...
I know that because certain video games couldn't be released in Australia because...
Yeah, because of violence, yeah.
Well, they didn't have... Like, they use the same rating system for everything across the board. Movies, television, video games, etc. Which makes everything really fucking convenient. But right. They wouldn't allow video games that were classified as an R rating into the country.
Right.
So certain games were not allowed in. They are now. They've since passed that because enough people were like, what the fuck? We want to play video games.
But, it's kind of shitty.
But, yeah. So it's weird to have something banned in America.
I was telling somebody at work today, too. All the fuss for this movie that's been raised has been because of the threats from North Korea. Given, like, who all is in this movie... If nobody had said anything, this probably would have just kind of had an okay run at the box office and then faded into obscurity.
Yeah. Just like, what was the last movie? Pineapple Express?
Yeah.
Or, wasn't there another one recently? Oh, the World's End or...
Yeah.
This is the End or something where it's the celebrities playing themselves in the apocalypse.
Yeah, that, like, came out to a lot of hype and then just very quickly disappeared.
Yeah.
Not
that I don't like Seth Rogen or James Franco.
I've grown to appreciate them both more than I have in the past.
And Lizzie Kaplan's in it, who just, oh God, I love her.
Lizzie Kaplan, if you're listening to this, why are you listening to this?
Yeah, why? You have way more important things to do than listen to this show.
Also, Mike would love to put a baby in you.
I don't go that far.
I, you know, court you a little bit. I'm sure he'll buy you dinner. Take you to the Subway, perhaps an Olive Garden.
I'll put some Subway in you.
Mike would love to put a food baby in you.
I have to make sure it's kosher, though, because she's Jewish. I've never dated a Jewish girl, so I don't know.
So, yeah, I am now looking forward to the interview leaking onto the internet.
Yes, I'm sure that it'll be the number one torrented movie of 2015.
The most interesting thing to come out of this, too, have you been keeping up with any of the, like, leaked Sony stuff?
I get bits and pieces through Twitter. I haven't actually, like, searched for it myself.
The most relevant one to what you and I talk about on here was the fact that Sony is pitching a deal to Marvel to basically give them Spider-Man kind of, sort of, not really.
Did we not talk about that last week?
Did we talk about that last week?
I thought we said something about that they were going to effectively share rights. Where yeah. Disney would be able to... Sony wants Disney to use their money to make the movie, but Sony is going to tell them what they can have in the movie.
Yeah. My understanding is it's like a 60-40 split. Sony has creative control over the character, but Marvel makes the movies. But primarily what Sony wants to do is hang on to the rights to Sinister Six and Spider-Gwen and whatever else they want to do.
See, and the thing that kind of confused me with the whole Spider-Man thing was I was wondering how far the Spider-Man rights went and if Disney Marvel could create their own Spider-Man using Miles. I mean, apparently... like in my research, anything Spider-Man goes to Sony, but
basically they have the rights to Spider-Man and the associated characters.
At least when it comes to movies, which is why Disney can still make the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon and
It's just the film rights. But that's why, because like some of these things are kind of divvied up weird based on where they debuted, which is why you had the Chitauri and the Avengers, because for some fucking reason the Skrull right. Well, I mean, I know why the Skrull rights went with the Fantastic Four.
Oh, so they're with Fox.
Yeah.
And Fox ain't giving that up.
No.
Well, at least until this next Fantastic Four fucking bombs.
They're trying to do a Fantastic Four X-Men crossover. They're like, we could do an Avengers movie with just these two properties, right? Good luck with that.
But you know, these two properties, one that hasn't been so successful, we're just going to cross those over, despite them really not having any shared universe.
This week's issue of Axis, by the way, featured geriatric Steve Rogers carting out the circa 1993 Captain America armor. Do you remember that?
What was that one?
Where they did the storyline where somebody took the super soldier serum out of Captain America's blood, because you know that's basically the fallback storyline.
Yeah.
And so
what happened to Captain America this week? More drugs.
So Tony Stark fashioned him up a suit of armor so he could keep Captain America and without his steroids. And it's really terrible looking. And to like just get to that last page.
Wow.
And
see him, what the hell?
To get to the last page and see him wearing that, it was just like, oh my God. And basically he was dying at the same time too. And then it was
prick in the 90s just like laid back in the Marvel bullpen and said, you know what? What if Captain America and Juggernaut had a baby? What would that look like?
We gotta remember that was a weird time for Marvel Comics. Storylines like that are what led to Heroes Reborn and Heroes Return and all that. Because you had Captain America had that going on, where he was powered down and wearing the suit of armor. Thor lost the ability to heal, so he had to wear a suit of armor and grow a beard out, because he was basically just getting his ass kicked constantly. And I believe that was around the time that it was revealed that Tony Stark was actually evil, so they brought teen Tony Stark from the past into the present to defeat the old Tony Stark, and teen Tony Stark stuck around in the present.
What, so the Tony Stark that we have now is like a teenage version?
No, because they went to Heroes. Is
that all been retconned again?
No, because they sent them to the Heroes Reborn universe, and all that was kind of just, through various ways, kind of just swept under the rug.
Oh, so that's like another alternate Earth?
No, it's just kind of been ignored. They addressed it like right after he came back. I can't remember what they did, but they basically just went, yeah, no.
It's like the weird uncle that no one wants to talk about.
Yeah. Tony, remember that time you
shut up! You shut up! That didn't happen! God, that's a terrible suit. But the common denominator through your little explanation there is suits of armor.
Yeah.
So did Marvel just decide, like,
90s.
We need 90s. Our guys to be bulkier and armored up.
Have you never seen the redesigned 90s Daredevil?
I'm sure I have. I got it. Remember, I got into comics fairly late in life. I think I started collecting them when I was 19.
Let's see. There you go. Yeah, that kind of look that it's like.
Yeah,
that
was, I remember. God damn it.
Very clearly designed by a man with no eyesight.
Yeah, I remember. And it's broken.
Everyone had to be, yeah, not, that's just 90s art. Yeah.
God.
90s comics. We could do, like, a whole, like, month of just, like, the best and the worst of 90s comics.
You would have to take the lead on that, because, like I said, I know very little of that era.
Speaking of 90s comics, by the way, I have this one note here that we haven't addressed in, like, 3 weeks. Star Wars number one from Marvel Comics coming out January 2015. Marvel got the rights back from Dark Horse, as I'm sure you're aware.
Yeah, that happened, like, 6 months ago. Dark Horse relissued?
Relissued?
I was going to say released and issued, and the two words had a baby. They issued a press release saying that Marvel has taken back the rights, or Disney took back the rights, and they're going to release it under Marvel, so there's no more Dark Horse Star Wars.
We kind of, I don't think we ever really mentioned that. They're finally going to start putting them out in January. There is, of course, Star Wars, and then there is, of course, Darth Vader and Princess Leia and a million other fucking titles.
God damn it, I was hoping they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but the relevant one is Star Wars number one, which has already sold, just in pre-orders, over 1 million copies.
Wow.
The last comic to do that was Batman number 500. Which has, well, what was the cover date? I didn't write it.
Which is notable for being the 500th Batman, because...
Well, it is, it's an October 93 cover date. It is the first appearance of Jean-Paul Valley's redesigned Batman costume. Mm. You remember that suit.
Is that also the giant armor?
Yeah!
Like Azrael?
Yeah, thing? Azrael.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one he did. Not the second one that was orange with flamethrowers. 90s comics.
You know what Batman needs? Fucking flamethrowers.
Hey, that was, again, that was kind of the point of that story.
Batman had completely lost his mind.
Well, no, the story I read was that Nightfall and NightQuest, all that came about because DC Comics kept getting letters from fans that said, why doesn't Batman just kill these people?
Oh.
Like, he keeps letting the Joker go, and people keep dying. Why doesn't Batman just kill the Joker? And somebody was like, why don't we just write a story where Batman starts killing people?
Because it goes against the character.
Mm-hmm. Fortunately, somebody in their bullpen was like, that's stupid. We need to replace Batman if we're going to do that. So they broke his fucking back.
That's when Bane broke his back and Azrael took over for Batman. That's right.
Yeah.
And Azrael was fucking crazy.
Batshit insane.
Batshit?
Nah. Oh! That's still probably one of my favorite Batman story arcs. I remember being very confused because that was around the same...
I just spent like 5 minutes shitting on it. And then, oh, that's one of my favorites.
That's a very good... it's a very important story arcs there. Very important. No, I remember being very confused as a kid because that came out the same time as the Marvel was running the 2099 line.
Oh, yeah.
So I was just like, this must be Batman 2099.
God, 2099. Fuck that. Fuck that whole series.
We've made it known how I feel about that series. Spider-Man 2099 is awesome.
Nope.
Everything else from that line was... Doom 2099 was an interesting idea.
Nope. All bad.
You think everything is bad.
No, just things with 2099 tacked onto them.
It is... I think it is also worth noting that Star Wars, even though it's sold a million copies, does, of course, have a ton of fucking variant covers.
I have seen variant covers for... every Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
And you mentioned like the Princess Leia and Darth Vader stuff. I was hoping that those would be like one-offs.
Well, there's just like mini series, I think.
It's Marvel. They're not going to be. It's going to be like Avengers and also Captain America and Iron Man and Thor and
I can't wait for Luke Skywalker to join the Avengers.
There's somewhere. I think it was from a Parks and Recreation episode.
Oh, the, the Patton Oswalt
thing, yes. Explaining how, Han Solo and the Avengers could team up.
Yeah, I love that.
Sadly, I can't remember the quote, so, anyone listening, if you want to see that, just, go look it up. Go learn the internet.
It's not hard to find.
Mm-mm. But God, that was hilarious.
I was trying to find the, March 2015 solicitations from Marvel that mentioned the Star Wars stuff, but I can't find them right now, so look them up.
If they're miniseries, then maybe I can forgive it, but I don't need five fucking Han Solo books.
you don't need Han Solo, the Superior Han Solo and Chewbacca, Han Solo Bounty Hunter, Han Solo Special.
I know they're probably already going to do that with so many characters. So many characters.
Boba Fett will have 20 ongoings.
Oh, he will, just because the fanboys fucking love him for no discernible reason.
I personally look forward to Boba Fett, the most overrated Star Wars character.
There should be one Boba Fett comic called Boba Fett Trying to Get Out of a Hole. And maybe a prequel to that, Boba Fett Hiding in Trash.
Boba Fett's notable for doing two things in the Star Wars trilogy, whining like a bitch and dying like a bitch.
Yes. And a prequel to that, my dad died!
Crying like a bitch. Oh my God. Mike, what have you been up to this week?
Just fucking working.
Oh, that's right, now that you're confirmed to no longer be the Baby Basher Mike Perry. I feel like that should be your wrestling personality.
Yeah. When I finally get enough money to go to the grappler school here in Portland. I'm sure that's going to happen.
I'm trying to imagine you as a grappler.
No, the guy's name is the Grappler.
Oh.
He's like a guy who's been in like the Portland wrestling scene for decades. He's a local wrestling legend, and God, he's a weird guy.
What, you're telling me a local Portland wrestling legend isn't all there?
I wouldn't say he's not all there, but he's just like, he sounds like crazy wrestler guy even when he's not being crazy wrestler guy. But anyway, yeah, I've started actually working full shifts down there, and so much of my time down there is spent just wandering the halls looking for any fucking thing to do.
Did you read about the Hatred video game controversy this week?
Hatred video game?
Oh man. It is a shooter video game, isometric shooter. I sounded like somebody's grandfather there. Shooter video game. That's what I get for trying to read Wikipedia.
It's on one of them Playbox machines that the kids are playing with.
It's on Steam Greenlight. You play in the game as a, basically you play as a high school goth kid who decides to go on a mass murder spree.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, and so it's an isometric game that the point is to, like, just go around and kill as many people as you can. And it got a lot of attention for its, well, first off, for its trailer, which was very short and very violent and, in my opinion, very stupid. But then, of course, also, all the fucking Gamergate people were like, can we put, like, some feminists in the game to kill? Which really, of course, really helped its case. I'm going to read you the opening narration now from the Hatred trailer. I want listeners to tell me if they can pinpoint the exact moment where Mike is going to suffer the aneurysm.
I got it here on Wikipedia, so I'm ready. I'm gonna read it along with you.
Do you want to read it, Mike?
No, I think for episode episode 50, if I were to have a fucking stroke, that would set off the episode great. So
you gotta save the stroke, because after this we gotta run down TLC.
Oh, we do.
Okay. I'm sorry, TLC and stairs.
TLCS. There you go. It's already starting.
My name is not important. I'm gonna put the husky voice on.
You're gonna put Christian Bale Batman on it.
What is important is what I'm going to do.
In the turtle.
I just fucking hate this world and the human worms. Feasting on its carcass.
You remember when you're doing the Christian Bale Batman voice, every four words you gotta like kind of run out of breath.
Yeah, you just gotta get slowly more and more sleepy.
My whole life is just cold. Bitter hatred. And I always wanted to die. Violently. This is the time of vengeance. And no life is worth saving.
He wakes up a little bit.
And I will put a grave as many as I can. It's time for me to kill. And it's time for me to die. My genocide crusade begins here.
A little lightheaded. I'm a little lightheaded. Seriously, I'm fucking lightheaded. Ooh.
You did too hard a Batman. You Batman too hard.
I Batman so hard. Oh, I batteranged my pants.
Y'all right there? You just like strain your vocal cords doing that?
Oh my God, how did Christian Bale do this? He's fucking insane. That's why he was in such good shape. He wasn't training in peak condition to play Batman. He was like, I gotta get ready to do that voice.
He burned so much fat doing that voice.
That's how he got in shape for The Machinist. He just looked in the mirror and was like, I gotta get skinny.
I'll play a piano.
So what was the part that was supposed to give me a fucking stroke?
Oh, just like how fucking horrible 90s goth poet it sounds. Oh, it's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Me and you'll have to watch this after we go off. Oh. Anyways, it was removed from Steam violently with the comment from Steam, this isn't the kind of game we would publish anyways. And then return the next day with a note from Gabe Newell saying, no, we don't censor this kind of shit.
Well, they took that it down being... just to put it up to be like, freedom of speech kind of made.
Well, no, somebody in charge of the green light thing took it down. And then Gabe Newell, who is like the head guy at Steam, rescinded that and publicly apologized. At which point, naturally, it became the most voted game on the service. I will be surprised if it's just Postal without the fucking sense of humor.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's going to be just like Postal, which came out, it had a shitload of controversy, and then it came out, and it wasn't that fucking good.
No, the Postal games fucking suck.
This looked fucking terrible. Games like this, they're just a gimmick. They get the attention of people by going, look at all the fucking people you can kill, but then it's fucking tedious and shitty and it sucks. And there's only so many hours in a row you can run around in a circle murdering the same six NPCs repeated over and over again because they didn't have the manpower, the time, or the desire to continually redesign people. That being said, I watched the trailer. It is gory. It is violent. But it's still not even the worst thing on the market right now. It's just a shitty concept designed to raise buzz.
Yeah. It gives you the... Just because the school shooting thing is such a fucking hot button topic. Like, let's make a game about it. That'll get people talking. And then people will buy it just because of the buzz around it. And we'll make money.
I find it hilarious that Hatred is developed by Destructive Creations. This feels like Rob Liefeld distilled. It's just so 90s, which is worth noting in the trailer.
Video game company.
It's worth noting in the trailer. This guy is like just cramming a bunch of shit into his trench coat. So clearly, his trench coat is made of pockets.
Old pocket.
So you can vote for Hatred on Steam Greenlight, or you could try playing a good game.
You could just not be a fucking sheep and don't vote for it.
Anyways, let's get on to something more depressing than Hatred, which is Tables, Ladders, Chairs, and Stairs.
I did not find it that depressing.
I thought it had a great opener, and I thought it had a great closer, and everything in between was not terrible, but not great, barring one match that we will get to. I wonder what match that was.
And also, I have to sort of bow out on my discussion of Big Show and Eric Rowan, because my whole cable, everything...
Oh, yeah.
Took a shit, like, right after they got to the ring.
That's the match I was going to say was the shittiest match of the night.
It's the Steel Stairs match. I think even my cable was like, no, I'm not going to subject yourself to this.
Your cable was like, you'll thank me later, bro.
Yeah, and came back, right after Cena and Seth Rollins started, so yay.
Cable was like, all right, bro, here you go. Anyways.
You're welcome.
Starting us off on the kickoff show, The New Day, specifically Big E and Kofi Kingston, faced Gold and Stardust at a tag team match. A match that wasn't bad, a match that I pretty much enjoyed, a match that was hampered by the announced team being so goddamn bored by the match that they spent the entire match reading the Great Gazoo's Wikipedia page.
Oh, God, that, wasn't it? Because Stardust came out green, and they were and like, he looks like the Great Gazoo, and JBL is so fucking stuck in 1930 that he didn't know who the Great Gazoo was, and yeah,
they tried to salvage it at one point by saying, you know, there's a WWE Flintstones movie coming out. I'm calling bullshit on that, because if the whole point of the Great Gazoo Wikipedia page debacle was to promote that movie, there would have been a graphic or something else more directly in tune with it. Not them literally reading Wikipedia instead of watching the match. Like, King literally said the words, hang on, let me look for this. Way to support the product. On the pre-show, the show that airs on YouTube to try to get people to subscribe to the network and watch the rest of the pay-per-view, and you can't even pay attention to the fucking match.
It seems like recently, ever since, I'd say ever since the whole Michael Cole heel turn 4 years ago or whatever.
That fucking clusterfuck.
Yeah, but like ever since that, the matches seem to get in the way of the announcer's conversation about nothing.
Yeah.
It's like they're trying to play a Seinfeld episode over here on the side of the wrestling match.
I would love it if they would just have like a Seinfeldian conversation, like a legit Seinfeld conversation.
They bring in like Jerry Seinfeld and Kramer and George to do the commentary.
The Red King's like, this one time in Memphis, I had this square off match with this one guy. We get the ring, the bell goes off, yada, yada, yada. I'm down for the three count. King, you can't yada, yada, yada over that. You yada, yada, yada over the best part.
Nope, I mentioned going down.
Oh. So did that 16-year-old girl.
What?
Oh, no.
Shame on you, Christopher.
Those allegations were never proved.
Even more shame on Jerry Lawler for it being true.
Yeah.
Anyway, what is the deal with the stairs?
Kicking off the pay-per-view proper. Just went blue right off the bat. Dolph Ziggler versus Luke Harper for the Intercontinental Championship in a ladder match that I think was probably one of the better matches we've had the entire fucking year. These two legitimately tried to kill each other.
Yeah, there was, like, I was cringing through most of that match because Dolph, God bless him, loves to fall off of a ladder in the worst possible ways. One of these days he's going to do that, like, backwards spin off the ladder and just land on his back right on the ladder and break himself in half.
It's almost like a fucking, like, 4-year-old child getting on top of something and going, Mom, watch, and then falling off in the most horrific, impressively.
Just fucking ragdolling off of the top of something.
Oh, by the way, I should mention, the New Day versus Golden Stardust, 11 minutes, 40 seconds. Ziggler and Harper went for 16:42. Ziggler won to become a 4-time Intercontinental Champion, which they are going to now mention every time he comes out, but neglect to mention that he's a 2-time World Heavyweight Champion.
Well, because he's... Those 4 Intercontinental Championships have lasted well longer than his combined 2 world title reigns. I think his 2 world title reigns, like, if you add them up, add up to about a month.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the totality of a month of that was the second one, because his first reign was not even 2 hours. Because it was an episode
of SmackDown. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. Because
he got it at the beginning of SmackDown, and then by the end of SmackDown, he had been stripped of it.
That's right. I'd forgotten about that bit. Yeah. I just remember, like, that one world title reign where he, like, got a concussion right after getting it, and they had to strip him of it.
Yeah. And he got an extra week or two out of that because they waited to see if he would get better.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
Both busted open hard way. Harper in some of the most bizarre places to get cut open.
I tell you,
armpit.
I made the observation during the match over on my Twitter account at Raw Reactor, which you can follow for pay-per-views and commentary. Not necessarily on Raw that much anymore, because now I start watching Raw and just kind of fall asleep. Like, literally, the last episode of Raw, I was watching and I see Fandango come out, and then I'm just kind of like nothing for a few minutes, and the next thing I know, I'm like waking up and Big Show's like leaving, and I'm like, my fucking brain was like, I'm just gonna shut down rather than endure another goddamn show match. Anyways, as I was saying before I got off track talking about how much I hate the fucking Big Show in 2014, I am glad that they don't blade anymore, that we don't have those kind of levels of blood anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also very glad that we don't do match stoppages for blood anymore.
Yeah. It was kind of ridiculous when they would stop everything to clean people up.
Yeah. I remember right towards the end of that, right before they stopped doing that, a CM Punk match where he got like busted open hard way. And they stopped the match to kind of patch him up a little bit. And you could tell Punk was just so pissed about it, just so fucking frustrated.
I think it was actually John Cena who got him to stop pausing matches, because he got busted open hard way one time and they tried to get him to stop and he's like, fuck off, and he pushes everyone out of the way. And
yeah, somebody mentioned it looks like they tried to stop Kevin Owens's match at our Evolution, because they said you could see when he starts bleeding, you could see the ref kind of start following him around with gloves, and Kevin's like going out of his way to avoid him and trying to get away from him.
Yeah,
I haven't gone back and watched it to see if that's true or not.
Well, I thought they were going to stop because it looked like he broke his fucking nose. It was a real nasty hit. Even CJ Parker, when he did like an open palm thrust to Steen's face, and it busted open his nose like right across the bridge, and he was just bleeding like a hog, but it also, like, busted open Parker's palm.
Yeah, he posted a picture of it on Twitter, said it split it straight down to the bone.
Yeah, it was that was a gross picture.
Kevin Steen's a tough motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway.
Next up.
Let's talk about Our Revolution again, because besides the name, that's the best show that they've had all year.
Even the name was better than Tables, Ladders, Chairs, and Stairs. Next up, the Usos defeated The Miz and Damian Mizdow by disqualification for the Tag Team Championship in 7 minutes, 17 seconds, furthering the current most important plot in the WWE, which is The Miz desperately wants to fuck Naomi.
Maybe Mizdow wants to fuck her.
Now I'm imagining Miz gets the chance to fuck her, and Mizdow is like in the corner thrusting at the wall.
He's just hopping the wall.
Hey, stunt double, he's got a...
It's going to be great when Naomi does the heel turn and joins up with Miz and Mizdow, and Mizdow comes out with like a blow-up doll.
Maybe he just comes out with Cameron.
Oh,
yeah.
She's essentially a blow-up doll anyway.
Did you watch the Super SmackDown Live?
Mm-mm. I have a job now. I cannot watch wrestling.
Lucky you. they did further the angle, because first off, on main event on Miz TV, The Miz interviewed Naomi. Because why not? And Jimmy? Jay? Which Uso is she married to?
I think it's Jimmy.
Jimmy? Whichever.
Or Jay.
Mr. You're supposed to be able to tell them apart now because they have different face paint, but nobody ever told me which one has which face paint.
Like, that's great, but which one has it on the left and which one has it on the right?
I half expect if you ask them, one of them would be like, well, mine's the J. Motherfucker, both your names start with J.
And the Wikipedia article's giving me their real names.
Yeah, not
Jonathan
helping.
Jonathan Fatu married Trinity McRae, who's Naomi. Which one's Jonathan?
I'm pretty sure it's Jimmy. I feel like
Jonathan
it's Jimmy.
Jonathan is Jimmy. Okay, so it's Jimmy. Jimmy married Naomi. As to which one Jimmy is, fuck knows.
Anyways.
Although their Wikipedia page has, it's just the Usos and birth name, and it has both their birth names, born and spouses Naomi. Well, apparently they're both married to Naomi.
They're a very progressive family, the Fatus. They had whichever Uso it was that's married to her come down and break up the Miz TV segment, and then after their match on SmackDown, he was like, I'm so glad to go down, because Naomi had a title match against Nikki. I'm so glad to go down to ringside and support you, and she was all, I gotta do this on my own. So, of course, Miz comes down.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just had a match, so he's, like, sweating and looks like shit, and he's got his fucking weird-ass coat on. And he's like, I believe in you. You can do this, damn me. Blah, 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 blah. No, it's just so fucking awkward.
It might be a decent feud if they had not spent the last decade of any of their careers telling us that they don't fucking matter.
Oh, that WWE.
Mm-hmm. But remember, it's the millennials' fault for not, like, grabbing the brass ring. That's the reason we don't care about them, not because WWE fucking buries them or anything.
Hey, I mean, the Usos grab that ring really hard. They're very good at making the crowd scream, oh! And that's an improvement if you remember their heel turn when they did, or their heel run when they debuted. You remember that?
Nope.
When they showed up and everybody went, they showed up and everybody went, oh.
Yeah, oh, these guys.
Now they go, oh!
Yeah, I just remembered them with Tamina.
Yeah.
Like the announcer's always trying to put over, she's the daughter of Jimmy Snuka, and being like, but the talent does not rub off sometimes.
Remember, they actually brought Jimmy Snuka out ringside for one of their matches.
And yeah.
That did not help matters. There's Jimmy Snuka. Though, the confused old man. That one's Jimmy Snuka.
She has gotten better, but those first few months, it's like, oh, God, she's Jimmy Snuka's daughter, but she ain't no Jimmy Snuka.
I am trying to remember what caused the disqualification in this match.
Miz smacked one of the Usos with the slammy.
That's right. Can't wait for them to stop carrying the fucking slammies around. It's that time of the year.
Mm-hmm. It'll be around Royal Rumble. They'll stop doing it.
Yep.
Until then, they'll try in vain to make the Slammies part of the angle, but then soon realize that no one cares.
Next up, the match everybody longed for.
John Cena and Seth Rollins?
Running 11 minutes and 14 seconds, the Big Show defeated Eric Rowan in a Steel Stairs match, which was, of course, just a no DQ match where everybody was told to use stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Most notable for the fact that they did a Tale of the Tape segment on the stairs.
I did get to see that.
Where they hyped up that the stairs weighs almost 300 pounds, which would have been a lot more effective if they weren't, like, stacking the stairs up and then them, like, toppling over due to a breeze from everybody running by them.
Wasn't it only, like, the top half was 300 pounds? Didn't, like, the whole, like, the two...
No, the stairs as a whole were, like, 270. It's, like, the bottom half was, like, 180 and the top half was, like, 70 or some bullshit. Yeah, which is bullshit to begin with because we've watched every fucking tiny person in the history of WWE throw those stairs around like they're nothing.
Yeah.
And I mean, also the stairs are like fucking hollow on the underside. It's like, no, they don't weigh that much. Stop trying to lie.
Yeah. I thought that they hyped him up as like the whole setup weighing like 1200 pounds or some stupid thing.
No.
Maybe they did. And I mean, hell, you thought the New Age Outlaws was an obscure tag team.
Shut up. The Tale of the Tape thing just screams to me that somebody woke up the morning of the pay-per-view and said, oh god, did we schedule a fucking stairs match?
We have to make the stairs seem somewhat dangerous.
Worth noting that
which would Big work Show's... if you had forgotten like the past 40 years of professional wrestling.
Worth noting, Big Show did suffer a legitimate hip injury. Big Show was laying on part of the stairs. Eric Rowan was on the middle rope holding another set of stairs. Remember, the, like, 180-pound stairs. He's just standing on the second rope holding like it's nothing. Hillbilly strength, I guess. And the spot called for him to jump down and swat at Big Show with the stairs, and Show was going to roll out of the way, and he didn't roll out of the way quick enough because he's the Big Show. Took a shot on the hip and was kind of hobbling around for a little bit there. And the match ended with Big Show pinning Rowan with the stairs. Just, like, put the stairs on top of him and held him down.
Hey, man, those are, like, 800 pounds of stairs.
800 pounds. It's like he put Mjolnir on Rowan. Whosoever can lift these stairs, if he be worthy, shall possess the power of the Big Show.
You're saying that Big Show is Thor, and I don't like that.
You didn't remember the Avengers when Thor went for the chokeslam?
I must have blocked that out.
Now, what happened was Thor was like, I'm gonna help you guys beat all the fucking aliens, and then turned around and punched Iron Man in the dick and joined the aliens.
Of course, now I'm imagining Big Show as Thor fucking Natalie Portman.
Why? Why would you do that to yourself?
It looks like a grizzly bear fucking a ferret.
I hate you so much. Next up, tables match. John Cena versus Seth Rollins. Stiff was that if Cena lost, he would no longer be the number one contender for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Match went on 23-34. I thought for sure John Cena was going to lose this one.
Why do you get the times of the matches like it fucking matters?
Because I have the times of the matches right here. Why the fuck not?
Because it doesn't matter.
It matters. It's still real to me, Mike. Anyways,
it kind of just points out to me how much fucking wasted time there is on a 3-hour show.
Well, part of the reason I'm pointing them out is because I did the math and I have the total runtime of how much actual wrestling there was on the show.
Oh, you're going to be one of those guys now?
Why not? We got nothing else to talk about this week.
Because no one likes those guys. Don't be that guy, Chris.
Nobody likes me anyways, Mike. Anyways, Cena defeated Rollins despite Rollins cheating like a motherfucker. How great was that? The heel cheated. I mean, sort of. It was a no DQ match, and I mean, a tables match and whatnot, but technically he still cheated.
No, it was good, and I liked that. A lot of people didn't like the use of Noble and Mercury, like, always fucking being there, but they're heels in a match where they are allowed to be there.
Yeah.
Why would they not be there protecting their guy? That's what they do. That's the point. You're not supposed to like them. You're not supposed to like that they interfered in the match. Fucking get over it, idiots.
There were multiple interferences here. Didn't Big Show come down at one point?
Yes, he did.
That's right. I'm remembering correctly. Big Show came out at one point to lay out Cena so that Rollins could put him through a table, which of course led to the return of
Roman Reigns.
Laid out the Big Show. And I don't remember exactly how it went down, but here's what you need to know. Seth Rollins went through a fucking table because it was a tables match.
Did that happen? I remember Roman Reigns coming out and destroying Big Show, and then Cena was winning.
Reigns came out, jumped in the ring, punched the Big Show in the face, and then literally just fucking left. Just pissed off, right? Just gone. Just fucking walked right back out the way he came in. Bye, guys, I'm back.
And then cut a really awkward promo.
Yeah. Oh, with that face.
That sort of sad, confused face. Which, to his credit, is him trying to remember fucking lines instead of just being able to talk. That's WWE's fault that he looked like a doofus there.
Well, I think they tried to let him talk once, and he said he was gonna make it rain in this bitch!
He said a swear, and they don't allow that.
They were like, no. Anyway, Cena remains the number one contender and will face Brock Lesnar for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at the Royal Rumble, which was confirmed that night and featured into Raw on Monday night when Jericho picked a fight with Brock Lesnar, or with Paul Heyman.
Brock Heyman?
Tell me if this sounds familiar to you. Paul Heyman comes out, runs his mouth. The face says, well, I'm going to have a match with you, Paul Heyman, against your will. And by the way,
I'm gonna bully the middle-aged fat guy.
And by the way, it was a vote on the app for the match. Did you see that?
Mm-mm. I haven't had a chance to watch Raw.
Do you know what the three matches were?
No.
No disqualifications. Okay. Extreme rules.
Stairs match.
Street fight.
So they're all the same match.
They're all the same fucking match. So of course, Heyman comes out. And this is all over, like, Jericho's like, you fucking owe me $200 from back in the day, Paul Heyman. It's about principle. So, of course, when Jericho...
You owe me $200 from fucking 25 years ago, when so, Jericho of course, had his cup of coffee in ECW.
So, of course, they come out for the match. Heyman's like, I'll just give you the $200, and goes to write a check. Jericho's like, no, fuck that, and throws the checkbook. They show which match it is. I think it was a street fight. It doesn't matter because as soon as Jericho says ring the bell, we're going to do the match, Paul Heyman says, why would you pick a fight with Brock Lesnar? And Lesnar comes out and lays out Jericho. If that sounds familiar, it's because it's the exact same thing they did with John Cena 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Literally word for word, moment for moment.
Well, I don't think Heyman owes Cena any money.
This also puts us in the curious position of, much like Rusev, Brock Lesnar keeps doing face things.
Is he's protecting the middle-aged, out-of-shape old man from being bullied from the, also, quote, good guy.
Also, somebody pointed out, Brock Lesnar is a better friend than John Cena because you pick up Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar shows up no matter what. Mm-hmm. But while Jericho's getting his ass kicked, Cena's like in the back having a cup of coffee or something.
He's still trying to figure out why Nikki's being so mean to everybody.
God, Nikki, you've been on your period for like 4 months now.
And he's still confused as to why she was so mean to Brie, and why Brie just said, okay, but we're friends now.
They did at the end of the night have at the end of Raw, have a Cena versus Rollins in a steel cage. Lesnar came out, beat up Cena a little bit, hit him with some German suplexes, including one that looked like it just broke Cena in half, like it was a release suplex, and fucking Cena bends in half and flips across the ring and lands on his fucking face, and I'm like, ooh. that one had a little English on it.
It's okay, Cena can take it.
Cena can take it. He's
He did break his neck in that spot, but he's going to be fine by Royal Rumble, so don't worry about it.
He's going to consume the soul of Kurt Angle. Just kidding. Kurt Angle doesn't have a soul.
Jeff Jarrett already sold that.
He sold that years ago. Ironically, it was just for a Kinder Egg. He loves those things.
But you can't get them anymore.
Kurt, is that a Kinder Egg? They got a freaking surprise in them.
Jeff Jarrett's stockpiling them for Kurt Angle.
Good match, buddy. Here you go.
I have all the Kinder Eggs left in the world, Kurt. You're going to do what I say or you don't get them anymore.
It's like the kind of Bond villain plot of wrestling organization, right? Jarrett's like some big fancy evil looking swivel chair petting a cat. The fucking pile of Kinder Eggs behind him.
You're going to give me your wife, Kurt. No, I have a Kinder Egg.
Fuck. Next up, Nikki Bella defended against AJ Lee. Singles match for the Divas Championship. Sorry, Mike. This one ran 7:38. This was not the shortest match on the card. Figure that one out. It was, however, the stupidest because it ended with Brie Bella. Brie distracts the ref, gets ejected while Brie is distracting the ref. Nikki sprays AJ in the face with, they said hairspray on the website, but then they were like, unknown substance. Like it was fucking acid or something.
Something that almost legit fucking blinded AJ. I'm sure that there's no hard feelings for the whole CM Punk interview.
Wrestling!
Want to say our doctors aren't competent? Fine, we'll blind your fucking wife.
Doctor felt pretty good about that blind diagnosis, Mr. Punk. And I'm sure this wonderful storyline of Nikki versus AJ is over now. Be great if they explained us what the fuck happened with Bria, though.
Yeah. Apparently they just, they both hated AJ so much that they were able to put their differences aside after a month of feuding with each other.
Well, I mean, you know how it is. You and Matt had that happen once. One day Matt looked at you and was like, I wish you would die in the womb. And you had a feud for 3 months. And then you were just like, eh.
I just called him up one night, want to play Xbox. He's like, okay.
All right. And boom, you two were sisters again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like
twin sisters.
The worst part is when Mike comes out of this Mike mode shirt.
Mike mode?
Mike mode!
I don't have the Techno Chicken song.
Next up on the card, clocking in at 9 minutes 50 seconds, Ryback and Kane in a chairs match. I don't remember this match at all.
Ryback murders Kane. The worst, stiffest, oh my god, how is Kane not just flipping out and strangling Ryback chair shots?
Oh, the big guy. The big guy got shoved off the, they're setting up Ryback versus Rusev because why not? Fuck it, sure. We'll put those two meatheads in the ring together. Ryback got shoved off the stage by Rusev Monday night on Raw.
What?
And, I mean, he stuck a good landing, but I think Zack Ryder still hasn't beat on distance.
Well, Zack Ryder has like 100 pounds less to go than Ryback.
But, I mean, Ryback was pushed by Rusev, so...
Ryder was pushed by Kane!
In a wheelchair?
I guess so. Okay, so that adds, like, what, another 40, 50 pounds?
Well, I mean, and the wheels make it easier to shove him.
Yeah, Ryback's still heavier, though.
Are we having a physics debate about shoving Ryback in Zach? I think we need to, like, line them both up and have them both shoved by Kane and see who goes farther.
Yeah, we need a controlled experiment here.
Ryback will botch it, but somehow that'll result in Zack Ryder having a broken rib.
And a staph infection.
And a staph infection. And also somehow blinded by hairspray. He was just trying to fix his hair before the match, and he was, bro, my eyes, bro.
Also, I noticed this month that Kane has a huge divot in his back where his goiter was last month.
Well, maybe they were, like, growing an ear for somebody back, like...
It was Undertaker's egg. He's hatched. So he'll be fine by WrestleMania.
Oh,
they just used Kane as an Undertaker incubator. They gotta let him out by Royal Rumble time so that he's full grown by WrestleMania.
I guess you could say they use him as an incubator.
No.
Alright, never mind.
Cut that out.
Hey, by the way, you remember how I mentioned that the Jericho thing was like spot for spot the Cena thing from a few months ago? After this match, Rusev defeats Jack Swagger. But it was different because this time Swagger fought out of the, I wanted to call it the Patriot Lock. That's a lie. The Accolade.
Yeah, Patriot Lock for Rusev. Move.
Yeah. Swagger fought his way out of Rusev's Accolade so that Rusev could put him back in the Accolade.
Although during this match, Rusev put the first Accolade on. Right. And there was a drunk fan in the crowd.
Oh yeah,
that started throwing punches at security, and there was a big kerfuffle. And all the audience,
JBL,
all the audience was paying attention to this fight with security and this drunk guy. And by the time they had turned back to the match and everything was calmed down, he had his second accolade on. So I'm wondering how many fans there at attendance just looked back and said, wow, he's had this hold on for a long ass time.
Oh my God. So yeah, 4 minutes, 50 seconds, shortest match. I'm using air quotes there on the card. And literally just, again, the exact same thing they did, I think, 2 pay-per-views in a row, didn't they?
No, didn't they only have 1 pay-per-view match?
I feel like Swagger and Rusev had 2 matches. I don't know. I don't care to find out because I don't care about their feud because evidently neither does the WWE.
Because, yeah, it was the feud that started and then stopped for a couple months and now it's back and who gives a shit?
Well, I mean, now it's over again because they want Ryback and Rusev to face each other.
Yeah. I think that's why they had the match, so that they could just be like, oh, we didn't actually finish that feud.
Yeah. Well, now it's done.
It just kind of faded away when Survivor Series came around because we needed Rusev in the big 10-man. We could have had Swagger in that too, but no, he got injured and then he got better before the show.
He got injured and then literally the next night he was better. closing out the show, which a lot of people were, I was surprised by. I thought for sure Cena was going to close out the show, but making the correct decision, which, you know, you throw enough shit at the wall, eventually one of them's going to be right.
Well, my thing was that it's like, if you're going to have a gimmick pay-per-view,
yeah,
the match that is that gimmick should close it out, regardless of who's in it. If you didn't book
absolutely
the top guys in that match, then that's kind of on you. Because by then, yeah, the match is the draw more than the people in it.
Right. Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose in a TLC match. A match that saw Dean Ambrose hit 3 elbow drops from the top of ladders onto Bray Wyatt.
Which, impressive, but
yeah,
by the third one, it was like, that, okay.
Yeah.
You've done it. You've got a bigger ladder now? Okay.
What do you want us to chant to make you stop doing this?
Yeah, but I didn't enjoy this match. So it was a decent match, but I found myself not liking it when I was watching it.
Right.
And I listened to Steve Austin's podcast yesterday. He was talking with Dave Meltzer, who made a very good point that by the time we got to TLC, we had seen a ladder match where 2 guys got just the dog shit kicked out of them. We had seen the stairs match, which, the chairs match, where guys were just whacking the shit out of each other with chairs. How many tables got broken in Cena and Seth Rollins?
Right.
By the time you got to TLC, you had seen every gimmick that could have been done that night. And it's right, like, where the fuck else do they go? How do they top anything that happened before?
The answer to that...
And Wyatt and Ambrose were put in a very bad spot.
The answer to that is flat screen TV.
Yeah.
If you didn't see it...
An ending that I did not hate as much as everyone else seems to.
I didn't hate it.
Except for the Ambrose finds... doesn't work like that.
Ambrose finds a TV underneath the ring that is a working monitor for some reason. Like, it's broadcasting what the camera is actually showing. Which is a weird fucking, like, why is that under there? And if it's under there, okay, maybe it's just under there for storage, but why is it hooked up and working? Who is watching that monitor? So Ambrose finds it, hams it up for a good, like, 5 minutes, looking, decides at some point,
well,
after, like,
first
running...
he looked at it and then looked, it yeah, showed the stage from behind him, and he
yeah,
put it down to walk all the way up to the stage, grab the even bigger ladder, walk back, do another table spot with Wyatt.
He didn't realize that ladder was there. He saw it on the screen. It was like, oh, that one looks big.
Which, there was an even bigger ladder next to it, and one of the fans yelled at him, grab that one, and he said, I can't carry it.
So after some time passes, Dean Ambrose is like, I know, I'm gonna smack Bray Wyatt with this fucking TV. Which would have been an interesting spot to see.
Well, hey, it's not TLC and TVs.
That's next year. Tables, ladders, chairs, and projection TVs. This 40-inch Toshiba weighs 300 pounds!
This match also had Kendo 6 in it. Again, not part of the gimmick, but whatever.
Not part of the gimmick, but whatever, who cares? Fuck your gimmick. Nobody cares. So, Ambrose goes to smack Wyatt with his TV. It's still hooked up to power and whatnot, which, again, is another thing to think about. It's like, one, what the fuck is it hooked up to? And two, why are the cables that long? Because he gets clear across the ring with it before it shorts out and explodes in his face, stunning him and allowing Bray Wyatt to hit his sister Abigail and get the pin. TVs don't work like that! I don't know why there is a working ring monitor packed full of C4 under the ring. But there is, evidently.
I mean, maybe, like, for the setup, so that the cameramen can see it and know where they have to stand for certain shots.
But it's under the ring. They can't see it.
Well, it's like for beforehand. Like, as they're setting up the show, they have monitors to, like, okay, if I stand here, I can get these shots.
That's what the viewfinder on the camera is for.
Well, they see how it looks on television, how it comes across on TV.
It looks like it looks through the fucking viewfinder.
I'm trying to explain this way. There's no fucking reason for a working monitor to be under the ring. I'm trying to give some sort of explanation to this when there is none.
Mike, how do you not know how cameras work? They've got these weird, like, WWE-specific cameras with no fucking viewfinders. You've got to, like, hold the TV up to make it work. That would explain a lot about their production value, actually.
The explanation I just gave is probably right, knowing how fucking stupid Kevin Dunn is. That's probably his method of shooting television. Like, okay, you stand there with the camera, and let me stand over here with the monitor so I can see what you're seeing.
It's not Vince's. Vince still watches Raw, and he's like, why aren't they cranking the cameras? That's tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs. Wyatt versus Ambrose continued on SmackDown, where they had a promo showdown, and then they were like, Ambrose was like, I challenge you to a boot camp match tomorrow night at Tribute to the Troops, which totally wasn't recorded 2 months ago. No. God, no.
What the fuck is a boot camp match?
I have no fucking idea, because I did not watch the Honor the Troops thing with Florida Georgia Line. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do the Honor the Troops thing. Good job. Good job. Let's see. Let's see if I can find this real quick.
I always love when they bring out celebrities to do stuff, and it's so clear that they have no idea what the fucking product is.
This is interesting. There has been a boot camp match before.
I'm sure there has. I don't know what it is, though.
I'm pulling it up. Shawn Michaels beat Triple H in a boot camp match. It's a no DQ.
Of course it is. Oh, fucking course it is.
There's literally only one match type anymore, and it's no DQ, and they just change the name up every once in a while.
Triple H defeated Sergeant Slaughter in a boot camp match. What was that? That was December 97.
Really? Huh. As I said, I was going to say earlier, tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs, 1 hour, 56 minutes, and 59 seconds of wrestling goodness. Including exploding TVs, bottles of hairspray, and multiple accolades.
Hey.
I don't feel like it was the worst pay-per-view of the year.
No.
It had a lot going against it coming from NXT that week.
Which I'm sort of worried and interested in the next NXT show.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently a lot of the main roster guys are pissed off that they were shown up by the rookies, quote unquote.
Right.
And so I'm hoping that they don't, but I'm afraid that they're going to kind of put a governor on the NXT guys.
I don't know. I don't think they will, strictly because they want people to subscribe to the network. And that's you can still watch NXT itself on Hulu, but the specials are exclusive to the network. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of a selling point right now. Who knows? We'll see.
But yeah, I'm really hoping that they don't, because they're putting on great shows.
I'm also thinking that's kind of a news bit, though, because I saw the article you're talking about, and it also mentioned that some people supposedly phoned in their performance at TLC. I can't imagine who that was, though, because all the matches, I mean, aside from the stairs match, but of course the Big Show phoned a fucking match in.
I don't think he phoned it in. I just think that that's his work pace.
That's his work pace. Yeah. He just kind of hobbles along.
He's like, what? He's in his 40s. He's huge. He's hurting everywhere because he's just so goddamn big that his skeleton can't fucking hold it all. It's like, he can't work at any other rate than Big Show rate.
That's a skeleton trying to escape. One final note. Roman Reigns made his in-ring return on the live SmackDown Tuesday night. It was the curtain jerk match. It lasted about 5 minutes. He squashed Fandango.
Fandango. Fandango. You got to breathe on the A's, remember.
Entrances and all, the match was probably about 10 minutes, but there was about 5 minutes of wrestling, which I think was just them playing to Roman Reigns' strengths. Get him in, have him look cute for the ladies, and get him out.
Well, I also think that they want to, like, they want him back because people dig him, but again, he's coming up right off of an injury. A pretty bad injury that it's like, I don't know that given the time frame that he was injured and what they said he should be back at, that he should be back now, especially after hearing all the shit that Punk went through where it's like he was still anesthetized from his elbow surgery and they were calling him saying we need a TV on Monday.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know that he's fully ready to be back, and maybe they're just putting him on the show to have him work because people like him, but at the same time kind of try to protect him a little bit by having him in shorter matches.
Right. We'll see. Reigns right now is the only confirmed name for the Royal Rumble, which I am, of course, looking forward to because, as I've said last year, even at its absolute fucking worst, the Royal Rumble itself is still an interesting match. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back just in time to start talking Royal Rumble, because we're going to take 2 weeks off.
Thank God.
We're going to go spend our holidays doing stuff with our families. Or in my case, playing video games and wearing pajamas.
Yeah, the only reason that I'm going to be doing stuff with my family is because I fucking live with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll drive up and see my family Christmas Eve and come home Christmas Day. Won't be coming home to watch the interview, though. Anyways, you can still watch Mortal Kombat over at youtube.com/JCBagging. Go back and listen to the past year of Roomful of Nerd Stuff at thehomeworld.net. And we'll be back sometime in January after a couple weeks with all new episodes.
Yay!
Woo! And best of all, this time, we're not changing the name.
No, we have to.
We had a hell of a year. Hell of a first year of Roomful of Nerd Stuff.
Mike. We have to change the name.
Had a year of old beef Rena Mero and Brock Lesnar filleting himself. And
so is our, Power is Rangers. Our first episode back going to be like a best of? Like a retrospective of 2014?
The best of 2014 Room Full of Nerd Stuff is just like us giggling like schoolgirls for 10 minutes. That's it. It's a 10-minute show with us giggling. Maybe me reading off all those Benedict Cumberbatch names.
Anyway.
Go to thehomeworld.net, listen to all the old Roomful of Nerd stuff. Listen to some ARGs while you're there, but don't listen to the Stink Cast because that's not up anywhere.
Yeah, that doesn't need to be up anywhere.
You will never get jobs if that goes up anywhere.
I just got a damn background report done. I don't need any marks on that by them listening to the fucking Stinkcast.
Oh man, that's right. This past year also had the Flatulent Cow and the Meat Potato. And then of course Blizzmageddon. And Cannibal Hamsters.
Yes.
It's been an interesting year.
Month, year, day, week.
Feels like a year, but it's only been a month. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys in January.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.